This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
John Lawler has died at the age of 83. He was only in season one. Wasn't Molly Ringwald on only season one as well?
Oh, man, I don't remember. I was a Tootie fan.
Oh. What show did The Facts of Life spin off from? Anyone? Anyone?
Yes. What's happening? Different Strokes?
No, Different Strokes.
Dana's right. Dana got it right. Yep. Anyway, John Lawler, who played the headmaster in season one, has passed. Okay. I know we talked about, and I'm not looking to make this a topic at all, just it's a news story, so I thought I would bring it up. There's a lot of, in fact, Channel 9 is doing it right now. In early November, you may recall, Missouri voters approved the legislation, or legalization, beg your pardon, of sports betting in the state of Missouri, but Kansas City sports fans hoping to place a wager on the Chiefs or Royals may have to wait even longer in the Show Me State. Yesterday morning, the Missouri Gaming Commission confirmed that the Secretary of State's office had rejected emergency licensing rules. They were hoping to get the online sports gambling up and running by the summer. It's been pushed back to either the fall or even late in 2025.
So to add some perspective to all of this, the original date that they figured, that they being the Gaming Commission, they would be able to get all of this sorted out was August 30th. With the intent of getting more money flowing in, because those are tax dollars, right? Mm-hmm. They tried to put together these emergency rules. The Secretary of State said no. So effectively, we were going to get it early. Now it's back on pace. They have to have it done by December 1st.
A Missouri man accused of attacking five women in Missouri may have victims in at least four other states. Follow me here.
Okay.
A Missouri man accused of luring at least five women to his apartment may have victims in four other states, according to police today. Yalhal Maley, 28 years old, met his victims on a dating app. As previously reported by McClatchy News, the assaults occurred over a span of 23 months from March 23rd to February 2nd. His most recent victim came forward to police after she says he violently assaulted her on their first date. They met at a park. She agreed to go to his apartment, at which point he told her, quote, "We are now married," and held her basically hostage, Scott, for 7 hours. For more women then came forward and shared similar accounts. This is near the St. Louis area, but they are saying he could have victims.
Well, clearly in Illinois.
Yes. So he was attending Logan University in Chesterfield to become a chiropractor. That's 20 miles west of St. Louis. But he has lived in Minneapolis, St. Paul. He has lived in Tucson. He has lived in Chicago. And he has lived in Virginia. He met several of his victims through dating apps. Went by a different name, by the way. So what they're doing now, his bond, by the way, is $500,000.
Good.
What they're doing now is they are flooding the news with his photo. Good looking younger guy.
Do you have a photo of him?
Well, he went by a different name, and I don't know.
And by the way, Logan University only does chiropractic.
Let me find another story where he is photographed. Like, in one photograph, he was wearing a hat, almost made him look like a pilot. But you can be whoever you want to be online, right, Scott? Like, his name is John. Quoting here from authorities, there are multiple victims, and we are afraid and, quote, somewhat certain that there are more.
Hmm. No connection yet to Kansas City that you're seeing in there?
Not that I am reading, no.
Okay.
But, I mean, my God, who knows?
You know, I've always been, and I know that people go on these dating websites and find the love of their life. Shonda met her current husband on a dating website.
Let's see if it says the name.
Kara Marxer, you may recall.
That's right.
On Cupid, is it Cupid.com or something
okay
like
Cupid.
That? Okay Cupid, that's right. Okay Cupid. And that's where she met Paul. And now they have two wonderful children living very happily. I would be nervous if my daughter, I saw his picture.
Look at that
today.
Smile. He's got $1 million smile.
You know who he looks like?
I was going to say Mangione.
He looks like Luigi Mangione.
Or one of the Franco brothers.
Yeah.
Who also looks like Luigi Mangione.
But I would be very concerned if my daughters were on a dating website.
My buddy just hopped on them.
Really?
Yeah.
Swipe it right? I don't even know if you swipe right or swipe left if you're
right
interested.
Is good, left is bad.
Okay.
From what I understand. Yeah, he went on a date, and, you know, it wasn't a direct catfish, but the pictures were not recent.
Oh, tell me.
Well, the more interesting thing is that she told him a story about an actual catfish of a guy who was in his 70s, who, you know, late 20s, early 30s, they were talking, they were matching, they were getting ready to go out. She walks into this restaurant, and in the waiting area, no one is there except for this guy in his 70s. And he says, hey, whatever her name was, I don't remember. She goes, who are you? And he goes, oh, I'm so-and-so, whatever his name was. We'll call him Dan. Sorry,
should that
Dan.
Be illegal?
Let's pick a different name.
I don't
name.
Know if it should be illegal, but it should certainly be frowned upon.
Dan was a bad random name choice. Dan was a bad random name choice.
Go with Scott.
Sitting there in his
go.
Toboggan.
Go with Scott.
As it turns out, he was using Dan. His grandson's photos.
Ew!
Oh, man.
What do you think is going on in your head when you are pretending you're 30 and you're 70? When you know there's going to be a moment that we're gonna meet up at Applebee's. And you know there's going to be a moment she's going to walk in and go, who are you?
I'm hoping that the chances are at least one in a million. So you're saying
Dan.
There's a chance.
By the way, a classmate of this clown's at Logan University in, I think that's in the St. Louis area. It's a chiropractic college.
That's all they do. Yep.
Told KMOV, warning signs were there long before he was arrested. She said he made several female students feel uncomfortable during their chiropractic lessons, including herself. I tried to keep my distance. We're practicing at what we're going to be doing in the office one day. Him just having these lingering touches and not keeping professional boundaries.
Wait a minute. This is one of the women that he's accused?
No, this is just a classmate was saying now that he's been arrested, they're like, yeah, he was the creeper.
He was a creeper.
Pretending to want to be a chiropractor.
I don't think it should be illegal to lie on your profile, but prove that they lied.
Listen to this, by the way. He has a $500,000 cash only bond. There is no 10%. He's like literally come up with $500,000, and even then we're all going to be worried for our community.
Right.
He told the judge, quote, I'm not a threat to anyone. I am not a flight risk. Quote, I give you my word. He also told the judge that his confinement in jail was giving him anxiety. I don't know. Maybe raping six women gave them anxiety.
Allegedly.
John, which is not your name.
Dan, which is not your name.
Still a very unfortunate random
How
name choice. Sorry,
look
Dan.
At a judge with a, he's a narcissist, with a straight face and say that your confinement for the last 4 days since they finally caught you, you sick SOB, is giving you anxiety.
Because you're probably either a narcissist, spoiled rotten, used to getting anything you want. He is a good-looking guy, so I'm imagining in the ladies' department he's had some success. But I want to get back to this. Your friend got on a dating website, Sam?
Yeah.
And he swiped right on this one woman.
I don't want to focus on that one. The crazier story was the story that she told him.
Well, that the guy was 70 and using his grandkids' photographs.
That's wild.
Maybe the 70-year-old's just really proud of the grandchildren. He wants everybody to see the photo.
Can I show you a picture of my grandson? I've seen it. It's your profile picture.
913-586-7798.
586-7798.
If you have similar stories, we'd love to hear
them. About Social Security?
Sam Stevie. Wow. Sam Stevie.
Medicare, am I right?
Sam Stevie the Third. Dana Wright, who is currently on fire. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Totally unrelated, but this story from Channel 5, a Lee's Summit man has been arrested and charged after he was shot during a string of armed robberies that were set up through dating apps.
I'm telling you what, between that and Facebook Marketplace, what are we supposed to do, Scott?
Jackson County court records filed Wednesday, February 19th, have revealed that Quentin Rayner, 28 years old of Lee's Summit, has been charged in connection with a string of dating app armed robberies.
Do we not remember the advice that was going around, and I mean everywhere, in the early 2000s, about being skeptical when you go to meet a stranger on the internet?
Right, but, okay, let me just ask, always yes. He was shot after meeting someone and trying to rob them on a dating app?
That's the way the story reads, yes.
Was it the woman he was, or man, alleged to be meeting up with, who said, not up in here?
During each instance, investigators say they found a woman who has not been identified, marked men on the dating site Plenty of Fish, met up with them and distracted them before Rayner robbed them at gunpoint.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So it was a woman in cahoots. She was in on it.
Allegedly.
She posed as a normal woman wanting to go on a date with, say, Sam.
On plentyoffish.
Right.
.com or whatever.
And then when she shows up, she's got crazy gun-toting crazy with her.
Or maybe they go on the date, they go back to the apartment. And,
yeah, she gets the free dinner out of it.
She leaves the door unlocked, and here comes Crazy McCrazy with the gun.
Did not go back to the apartment or house.
How do you spell his name, by the way?
Okay, it's Quentin, Quinten.
Yep.
Rayner, Rainner.
God, that scares me to death.
Law enforcement officials say four victims reported they had met a woman on Plenty of Fish and planned to meet up with her. When they did, Rayner allegedly appeared each time with a gun in hand as he robbed them of phones, a vehicle, and more. However, during a fifth incident, the victim said he attempted to meet up with Rayner after they met on Facebook dating. Ultimately, the pair made it inside Rayner's vehicle when the unidentified woman held the victim at gunpoint as Rayner attempted to rob him.
Aha. After Rayner hit the fifth victim in the face, he said he was able to escape and began to run. He only turned around when he heard a gunshot and saw that Rayner was the one who was hit. So I wonder if one of the two of those idiots tried to fire at the victim running away.
Yes, because Rayner was shot in the leg.
Yeah, instead shot the suspect.
Shot Rayner.
Good. I hope it hurt.
Wow. You really do have a bit of a headache from that collision earlier today.
I do have a headache.
You want to tell everybody what happened?
No.
A lot of people weren't listening at 2 o'clock.
You know, I've had a lot of people reach out. I do want to address one thing.
Okay. Is it the dog or the bench?
A bench-chasing dog struck my car today. It was really a dog-chasing bench. I suppose.
It would be a dog chasing bench, yeah.
No, the bench was chasing the dog.
Someone tethered a dog.
Right, the bench is, yeah.
To a bench. The dog was having none of it and decided when the owner went off to the salon or wherever they were going at 87th and Lackman Road, the dog decided he was having none of it and started to run.
Yeah.
When the dog ran, the bench followed. It made a loud noise, which scared the dog. Dog is now flying through a parking lot. Bench tethered to him in tow.
I mean, moving faster than that snowplow.
I drive in just trying to go to the bank, just trying to get to the bank before work. Dog comes out of nowhere, bench flying behind him, and smashes into my car.
And he goes full NFL running back right before he hits your car.
Yes. The dog
at
the point of impact is now untethered from the bench and just takes off running.
Cuts left like Saquon Bark.
Yeah,
Frida!
Saquon Bark.
You
Lee.
Did not just say that.
Very good. Very good.
I've had a lot of people reach out. Is anyone concerned for the dog? Of course I was concerned for the dog. Mm-hmm. I stopped my car to try to help the dog before I was nearly killed by a bench.
Well.
If anyone has read the childhood book, A Fly Went By, that is exactly what happened to me in real time. Mm-hmm. Fly was chasing the bench. The bench was chasing the dog. You get where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. Of course we are concerned for the dog. But the owner who tethered the dog to the bench at some point had to come out and realize, not only is my dog no longer here, but the bench he was tethered to
is in the parking lot,
is gone and flipped over in the parking lot.
Their hair looks fantastic.
Don't tether your dog. Period. Just don't. Like, how about we don't take the dog to the salon?
Well, here's why I don't think they were going to the salon. Because a woman's hair doing
takes a while.
Takes 2 hours. She's going to tether that dog to a bench for two hours?
What if I left my wallet at the salon and I'm just running in for a second to see if they have my wallet, but on the way in I decide to tether my dog to the bench? I don't know.
Something tells me this isn't the first time this dog owner has tethered a dog to a bench.
Yeah, the dog was having none of it.
But if you are going to tether your dog to a bench, make sure that it is bolted to the ground.
That would be a great plan, Sam Stevie. I get it. It was a nice day out.
Or maybe a heavier bench, Sam.
Maybe something with some weight to it.
So that when Fido decides he's going to make a run for it, the bench doesn't go with him.
Here's what I know. The dog was not struck by any traffic anywhere around me or around 87th or Lackman Road.
Good.
I think the dog came from the direction of, well, I don't know my directions, but to the left of where my car was.
Well, that's clear in the video that was taken by your car.
It's the left side of your car.
People are like, what does the dog look like? It's ridiculous to even go there because if you're missing a dog and a bench, by just deducing what has happened here.
Yeah.
You probably, when you came out and saw the bench gone and your dog.
Well, the bench was right there in the parking lot.
You know what happened. You don't have to be Einstein to figure that out.
Well, and something tells me, again, that this isn't the first time that they have tethered their dog. And so it's probably a pretty good dog. And now that they're not being chased by the dog chasing bench.
How can you call this dog a good dog after what it did with that bench to Dana's car?
I'll tell you this. The dog, I think, was also just running for freedom. And that's sort of funny. We can giggle about that. But I think he was terrified at the noise. If you have never heard a bench at a very high rate of speed...
Can you describe the sound?
Metallic, like cheap iron metal, but not wrought iron, scraping at a high rate of speed across asphalt.
Yeah.
I cannot describe how loud this was. And so the dog was just like trying to run, but then this thing was chasing it.
I mean, there's a solid chance that this owner came back out of the salon, assuming they were in the salon, and that dog was just sitting there wagging its tail.
Highly unlikely.
I think it's highly unlikely, Sam, because I...
Then where's the dog?
Tried to calm myself down. I was shaking. I went to the bank.
Oh, I wish I was recording it when
you
called me.
Oh, my God. I described the entire ordeal to the bank teller. I'm sure that's many minutes of her life she's never getting back. Then one of our listeners was in the teller lane next to me, and I'm trying to tell this story. She's like, how are you today? And I'm like, I almost just got struck and killed by a bench chasing a dog.
I'll tell this story quickly. When you called us, there were three people in the newsroom. Me... Sam Stevie, and Chief Engineer Ken Wolf.
Who already thinks I'm crazy.
That is correct.
Certified.
And so I put, when you called, as I often do, I put the call on speaker.
Good time.
And your reaction, as soon as I pick up the phone, hello? Oh, my God. Scott, you are, why do these things happen to me? You're not going to believe what. I need you to call Sherwin Williams at 87th and Lackman and see if they have video a bench being dragged by a dog hit my car. And I go, what? And I look over at Ken Wolf, and he just does this with his head in his hand.
I'm in line like the teller needs to hear this story, but I told her, I go, she goes, how are you today? Don't ever ask me that. I'm like, oh, I'm going to tell you. A bench almost just killed me, and it was being chased by a dog. And the woman...
No, it was being
whatever.
Led by
the woman, I don't know. I don't even know.
What is going on?
The woman in the teller lane next to me said, Dana! And I roll my window down. I go, yes? And she goes, I listen to you guys every day. And I go, did you see the dog? And she goes, the one dragging the leash? And I go, no, the one dragging the bench.
Well, he was dragging a leash once he became untethered.
That's what I said. I said, you're a witness. I might need you for my police report.
913, oh my God. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got to go back to this Southwest thing, and here's why. I'm reading the transcript from the near massively fatal collision just
in Chicago and Midway.
So that pilot is an absolute hero. Mm-hmm. I am always struck by how calm the pilots and the air traffic control people are. If you have not watched this video yet, it stresses me out watching the video. The plane basically lands. A jumbo, huge Southwest Airlines, looks like every Southwest plane you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It is almost touched down to the ground. And then when you look at what's straight ahead.
Inches off the runway.
What's straight ahead is some idiot in another airplane that doesn't have authorization to be there, just moseying across the runway. It would have been a massively fatal.
Oh yeah.
I how many people were on board do we even know?
But we don't.
When you listen to the air traffic control stuff.
Do. I think it was 80 people on board the Southwest flight.
We don't know how many people were on the private flight. So what happened was, you see what had happened was.
Yes.
The private jet was given very specific instructions on where to taxi and where not to taxi. That's the most important part here. They were told to hold, meaning don't move. That means don't move, guys.
560, turn left on runway 4 left, cross runway 31 left, and hold short of runway 31 center.
Right, left on on 4 left, cross 22 or 13 center, Flexjet 560.
Okay, so that's standard. You hear the call out, especially with a number of instructions like that. That is standard to repeat the call out back to them to make sure you heard it correctly.
Seems like
did you hear him
numbers.
Get all of it wrong?
Yes, including not saying hold.
560 negative. Cross runway 31 left. Hold short runway 31 center. Cross 31 left. Hold short 31 center. Flex at 560.
Okay, you got that one right. He got the second one right.
Then is there some transmission where you just hear a string of expletives? Because this is why I do not pilot planes.
They're
for
so
a variety
they are
of
so reasons.
I don't even know what direction I'd be going. There are multiple reasons Dana should not.
Southwest 2504 going around. 2504, Roger, that's coming, maintain 3000.
So that was the Southwest pilot just saying Southwest tail fin number going around. That was his way of acknowledging that Flyjet 560 did not hold.
Mm. Do you hear how just, okay, going around.
Yep, going around.
Not, we almost all just died.
Hey, there's a plane in my way.
I would like to have words with the idiot that just tried to frogger in front of me that was not listening to your directions.
You know, the only people that are as patient or maybe even more patient sounding are NASA.
I was going to say dispatchers, yeah.
NASA, when there's... Sadly, one of the shuttle explosions, and remember when the Challenger exploded, and they said, clearly we have a malfunction. A malfunction?
I thought you were going to say the
dispatchers.
We have caller advising. There is a machete hanging out of the left side of her earlobe. We have an officer en route. They are so, and they have to be, they have to keep their emotions out of it.
But also partly because they're not... They're detached from what's going on.
You have to be.
You know, and they take God knows how many calls every day, and they just send out the information. People with NASA are, you know, they're deeply attached to the space program. And, oh, my God, we just watched, you know, seven people or nine people explode 70-something seconds after takeoff. Or in this case, that pilot who just says wrapping around or something like that.
Going around, yeah.
Going around, whatever. I would say, and I'll need a new pair of underpants when I get off this plane.
Okay, but wait, after he says going around, because I'm seeing a lot of this on Twitter, it says SWA 2504, Tower Southwest 2504. How'd that happen?
Yeah.
He did say that?
Yeah.
He's saying to ATC, why did you give him clearance when I was on final approach? And ATC would then respond, clearance was not authorized.
Yeah. Can you play some of that back again? Especially the... interaction between the tower and the private jet pilot.
From the jump.
Okay. 560, turn left on runway 4 left, cross runway 31 left, and hold short of runway 31 center.
Right, left on on 4 left, cross 22 or 13.
No. Push pause, no. Push pause.
That's too many numbers.
First of all, it was 31 left, turn left at 4 left, then turn left at or pause or something at 31 left. Where's 22 and 13 coming from?
Yeah. He basically wasn't paying attention, did not hear all of the instructions. And when it came time to do what he was supposed to do, which is repeat all of the instructions to make sure there is no confusion, he fumbled through it and ATC
negative.
Yeah. What do you do at that point?
Someone posted, because we would love to hear from an air traffic controller or a pilot on this. Someone posted on Twitter, just before touching the runway, I have had countless flight instructors announce that there is a deer or other obstruction on the runway. So a, quote, go around like this is something that all pilots practice all the time. It is still scary, though, when you have to do it for real. A deer is one thing. I don't know how, you know, to some extent they can prevent that. They used to have dogs out there to keep the cows away and stuff,
yeah.
Or geese or all those things.
A deer is not going to blow up a plane.
It's going to make that landing bumpy.
Yeah, and messy, very messy. But a deer is going to, I mean, especially with a Southwest Airlines 737, it's going to obliterate the deer.
Well, there is one saving grace. The pilot of that private jet will never fly a jet again.
So how does that work? Because everyone is saying that pilot needs to be fired. How does that work?
That is a massive, I don't remember specifically what it's called. It's essentially a demerit from the FAA. Since it was a near miss, that is automatically filed.
Near collision.
Correct. The FAA calls it a near miss. That is automatically filed into the pilot's report. And with something that egregious where he says hold at 31C, so 31 is the
taxi
runway. Yeah. 31 is the runway.
Okay.
C is the cross pattern. So there's like those little roads that cross the runway. C would be that crossroad. And he said, hold at 31C. And the guy said, okay. And then when he got to 31C, he just didn't hit the brakes.
Someone jokes on Twitter, pilot, I just saved all of your lives. We will be on the news by the time we actually land without dying. Thank you for flying Southwest. It's currently 75 and sunny in Phoenix.
God. Please hold your nose as you exit the plane because I just took care of some business. You know what I'm saying?
How do you not, man? they must know what they're talking about. You don't do a go around for a deer. You just drive right through them. Okay.
I had no idea.
Yeah, we're bad with the puns.
Wow. But the reason he didn't stop at 31C is because he thought that was 2213. Which the ATC never said.
There's no way there's a runway 2213.
This guy
was just flat out not paying attention.
All of the pilots on Twitter are saying this is 100% the Flexjet pilot fault. Air traffic control told them three times to wait and not cross.
See, go to the part where he says 2213, whatever, and ATC says negative.
Yeah, the ATC then restates what he's supposed to do.
560, turn left on runway 4 left, cross runway 31 left, and hold short of runway 31 center.
Right, left on on 4 left, cross 22 or 13 center, flex at 560.
Which is 560, negative. Cross runway 31 left, hold short runway 31 center.
Cross 31 left, hold short 31 center, flex at 560.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, granted, it's incredibly loud inside those cockpits, but you have to listen to ATC.
I don't know that I even agree with that, Sam.
I mean, they're wearing headphones that are 20 times better than the ones we have on.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're all but noise-canceling, right? They would have to be.
Those Southwest pilots need to be like, I don't know, if they have medals they give out or some sort of, they get a free drink ticket.
I mean, this is
next time they're a passenger.
This is up there with Sully Sullenberger.
I mean, we often mock the people who clap when the plane lands. I hope these people clapped when the plane landed.
Well, you would be angry, Sam, because you wouldn't understand what had just happened.
That's right.
Those passengers probably had no idea until they were off that plane what had happened.
My first thought was we just got hijacked.
Oh, God.
913-586-7798. If you're a pilot, we only have one more segment of the show, but I'd love to hear from you. 913-586-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. My name is Scott. Don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. Story here from ABC News. Egg prices are predicted to increase by 41%.
More?
In 2025, according to a report today released by the Department of Agriculture. Eggs are going to go up another 41% in 2025.
Aldi was holding strong below $5.
The predicted price hike comes as a result of rising bird flu cases, which have had a substantial impact on farms. According to the report, retail egg prices went up by 13.8% in January after rising 8.4% in December.
They are now almost $7 a dozen.
The national average price for eggs hit $4.95 a dozen for shoppers in January. 18.8 million commercial egg layers, I guess that's chickens, were affected by bird flu in January. Okay.
I made an executive decision today, and you can hold me to it. I'm going to say it out loud. I'm going to speak it into the universe. I am so done and so annoyed with the nickel and diming tip epidemic in this country that I, from this day forth, will not again go to the most prominent retail coffee chain again.
Even know who you
if
are.
I what? Do not have cash. And here's why. I had a weak moment today. I had about six spare minutes before I came into work. I've been at work since 9 a.m. It's a long day for me. And I thought, you know what? I should get a coffee. So the quickest path of least resistance was to go through that drive-thru.
And there's a quick trip right there.
I just don't do it very often anymore. You know that, Scott. I just don't. I can count on one hand in 6 months the number of times I've gone through that store. I go through. She's like, hey, how you doing? Fine, great. Here you go. She takes my card, then hands that keypad to me and says, it's just going to ask you a question there. What is it about that sentence and the way it is delivered and expected, coupled with the fact, let's say it's a $5 coffee. Okay.
It's not. It's $7.
Okay. What would an appropriate tip for handing me that coffee be?
Zero.
Say, I got to go with Sam here. Maybe 50, I put 50 cents. 25 cents, 50 cents. That is not an option on that keypad. You want to know what the options were?
$1.
It was like 1, 3, 5, and 7. I'm like, 7? You want me to tip you the amount of the coffee?
Can you just hit other?
It takes it. The way they have set that up, it's a mind trick, Scott. I'm telling you it is. Because to go in and then say other or no, now, and I already feel like there's people behind me. I'm trying to get in and out here. She's already handed me the coffee.
So you gave her a buck.
Now, you just default to the dollar. And we are all falling for it, and I have had it.
Yeah, you have to click other and then hit 0 3 times.
No, you have to hit 0.00.
Yeah,
I've had it. I have had it. And you know what? The solution isn't, you know, it's not the coffee person's policy that they are shoving that machine at you with, you know, I don't know, the bird flu going around and influenza A and B and hepatitis and whatever else people have on their fingers. COVID. Now you're wanting me to, you know, hand massage your machine that a billion other people have touched so that I can scroll through the things to say, no, I'm not tipping you $2 on a $6 coffee. I have had it.
So now
it's spicy today.
Nowadays, you're going to bed early. You're getting up early. You're going to the gym. You're using cash. All of these things I've been doing for years. What's next? Check writing?
Well, no, we're not doing that. I mean, please.
They wouldn't ask for a tip.
Why do we have to be guilted into that? And it's through the machine. There's no human contact. If a person said to you, would you like to give me $3?
Mm-hmm. Well, they would never say that.
They wouldn't. You know why? Because you would go, no.
I've also noticed that it used to be from left to right, 10%, 15%, 20%.
They've switched it.
It is now from left to right, 30%.
What?
25%, 20%.
Going to start carrying cash now, eh?
No, I'm just not going to go anymore. I'm going to make my own coffee.
Okay, I can't take this anymore.
I brought a Keurig in like 5 years ago.
Do you even have a coffee maker at home?
We have a machine.
You know how to use it?
I think.
We got to run. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name's Scott Parks. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.